It's very easy for us to be frustrated with evil, because we live in a very evil time, Christians, one in which it seems like evil is getting stronger with each passing day, almost like it's winning the battle. It's becoming bolder, much more open. Maybe in past generations it was under the surface, so you couldn't really see it all the time, but these days it doesn't even hesitate to speak openly against God and against the things that he intends for his creation. But when it speaks so openly, it leaves us wondering, why does nothing happen? Why does it seem like evil is getting away with it? Why does it seem like God is far off somewhere, almost like he's not paying attention to us? That can leave us wondering, in the face of this evil, is God going to do something about this? Isn't he going to fix all of this, all these problems? Does he even care what is happening in the world? Does he even care what is happening to his people? And because we're so frustrated with the evil we see around us, that can make us become frustrated with God at the same time, so that we might even think, well, what's the point of all of this? Why should we follow after God in a time of great evil? And Israel was also struggling with this problem, Christians, because Israel was also frustrated with the evil which they saw around them. But the difference was is that they were completely frustrated with God. In fact, they say in our reading, verses 14 and 15, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. It's bad enough that evil seems to be getting away with it, Israel said, but they also seem to be doing so much better than God's people. The men who are attacking the world, who are treating their fellow men like dirt, who are treating them like numbers on a page, like they could treat them as less than human. Those are the guys in charge. Those are the ones who are ruling the world. While God's church, unfortunately, is down here on the bottom somewhere, wondering how are we going to get by. And so Israel really struggled with that. And because of that, they spoke against God. It's vain to serve him. It's pointless. And their frustration with that evil made them totally frustrated with the Lord. But Christians, it's also so easy for us to become frustrated with evil, and as a result, to become frustrated with God, too. Because consider just a few of the things that are happening in our country, in the society around us. Did you know, for example, that every single year there are more babies aborted in this country than there are people who live in this state? It would be as if we killed everyone in this state every single year, and it still wouldn't match up to the number of children that are aborted. But speak against that evil, speak out against it and say this is something that should not happen, and people will say, oh, well, you just hate women. You're trying to control people. You just want to impose your morality on everyone else, so you should just be quiet. And unfortunately, that leaves us wondering, what do we do? How can we speak out against this? How can we do anything about this problem? Or take something else to consider. 40% of the children that are born in this country are born to unmarried parents. You know, that it seems as if marriage is something that is becoming less and less common. It's becoming more and more what we want to make of it. Speak out against that, unfortunately, and people will say, well, you're just behind the times. This is what we just do now. Marriage is what you make of it. so you should just be quiet. And that can leave us wondering, too, what are we supposed to do in the face of this evil? Or take one more example. There are states in this country who have deemed that church is a non-essential, that it's something that they can just say, well, you don't need to have church on Sunday morning. We will tell you when you can and can't do this. And to those who say, but God has commanded us to gather together, to be together in person, they'll just say, well, you're just a terrorist. You're a dissenter. You want to kill people, they'll say. Whatever they throw at us. But that leaves us wondering, too, especially Christians who live in those states. What are we supposed to do in the face of such evil? How can we deal with this problem? And all of this probably seems overwhelming. I mean, it's a lot to deal with, but it's not even the beginning. We're barely scratching the surface of the problems going on in our society. And that can also leave us frustrated with the things going on around us. But maybe we recognize in all of this that God is judging the evil which is going on in this country. That there is a judgment which is coming upon this country and upon this world. But then that leaves us wondering too, well, where does that leave us? Are we also going to be swept away in that judgment? Are we also going to have to suffer the same punishment that the country around us is going to do? And I think that, above all, leaves us wondering, well, then what's the point? If serving God means that we end up suffering the same judgment as the world around us, it seems pointless. It seems useless to follow after God. What are we supposed to do in a time like this? But Christians, God gives us two answers to this question, the question of what is the point of serving God. And the first answer we see is among those who truly fear him. As we hear in verse 16, those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Now pay attention to that. The Lord paid attention. Don't overlook that. Don't move past that real fast. The Lord pays attention to those who fear him, to those who follow after him. He's not ignoring them. He's not far off on not caring about what happens to them. He's paying attention to them and causes their name to be written into his book. And just like we write down on a piece of paper things that we want to remember so that we can remind ourselves later, God has written our names into his book so that we will never be forgotten. God can't forget, of course. It's impossible for him to do so. But even if he could forget, he will not. Because he has written it down. It is permanent. It is effective. It is something that he has caused to be before him always, so that God never forgets those who serve him. And more than this, on the day when he acts, those who have been written into the book will be spared. As we hear in verse 18, once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. God will make a distinction. God will not wipe us all away in the same judgment. God remembers those who fear him, and he will never forget them. And God will give them a joy which will never come to an end. So Christians, it's not pointless to serve God, because God never forgets his own. But the second answer that we have here comes in chapter 4. because the Lord talks about the day that is coming burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. Now, I know in this county we've been under a burn ban for most of the year. We understand that because everything is so dry, if a fire were to break out, it would quickly go out of our control. It would quickly spread like wildfire, right? Well, the Lord is saying that the same thing is happening. He is like a fire, a holy fire, coming to judge the world. And on that day when he comes, all the evil which we see, that seems so strong, that seems like there's nothing we can do about it, it will be like dry grass, be like dry stubble in a field that will be quickly burned away, because God will take care of all of this evil, and nothing will be able to resist him on the day of his wrath. But that day is a joy for us, Christians. That day will be exciting for us. It's a joy because God has not forgotten us. It's a joy because God is not powerless against the evil which we see around us. It is a joy because God's not going to let evil get away with it. God will judge the world and give us the justice which we could not find. And on that day, the Lord says, we're going to be like calves leaping from the stall. You know, like calves that have been penned up for too long. And how when you turn them loose from that pen, they go out jumping and snorting and they're excited and they're running because they're so excited to be free. We're going to be the same way, Christians. When the Lord returns in glory, we will be like those cattle running around in the pasture because God has not forgotten his own. All evil will be judged. All things will be made right. All suffering will come to an end, and all sadness will pass away. What a glorious day that will be, Christians, when our Lord returns to judge the world. So it is not useless to serve God, because God will give us justice and joy on the day he returns. So in the meantime, since we're still waiting, God points us to his word. Chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Follow after me, he says. Listen to what I have to say, because it's not pointless to do my will. It is not pointless and useless to follow after me. I will bless you in the days ahead. And the Lord also promises us that he will send to us Elijah as a proof that he's going to do something about evil. And this happened, we know, in John the Baptist. Because as Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 say, speaking of John, and he, that is John, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So God was going to send Elijah as a proof that he was going to do something about evil. And God did send Elijah. He sent John in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Jesus, Christians, is proof that God is going to do something about evil. Jesus is proof that God is going to judge the world. Jesus is proof that God remembers those who fear him, because Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings, and he will deliver us from every evil. So trust him, Christians. Listen to him. and follow after him, because Jesus will bring you out of all of the evil which is around us, because he has written your name into his book. It is not vain and useless to serve God, because Jesus has given us himself. It is not useless to serve God, because Jesus will judge the world. And it is not useless to serve God, because Jesus shows that he loves us, and he will never forget us. So follow him, because he is your Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, to show that you will judge the world in righteousness. Help us always to trust in you in the midst of every evil, knowing that you will set all things right in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.